about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on this August the 4th, 2008. Well, I want to wish Barack Obama a happy birthday. That is, if his birthday is August the 4th. It's already August 5th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to Evident Footprints. We've got a great show for you this evening. It's actually going to be a special two-hour show. And I have a new guest, as I had promised in the weeks past. We are adding a lot of new visitors to Evident Footprints, and we're going to be offering many solutions, especially when it comes to health and higher consciousness. As a small tidbit, I had the opportunity to listen to Congressman Ron Paul's weekly telephone update. There's an 800 number that you can call and get a report on what is going on in Congress. And he mentioned that this past Saturday, which is an unusual day for Congress to convene, there was basically a decision made to go ahead and rescue some of the failing mortgage companies, and to the detriment of the economy, of course. They're going to save the banks. They're going to save the money lenders. And I along with Ron Paul, agree that this is probably going to cause the dollar to crash and burn completely. And basically that's what he's alluding to in that statement. It's being done intentionally, and we can create a new reality if we look within ourselves and reach for higher heights and taking responsibility and becoming conscious and aware of what's going on instead of reacting to it, but actually putting our intention on what we would like to recreate is going to be the solution. The congressman and the government in general is acting just like a parasite, and it's living off of us, the people of the United States of America, to the detriment of our own families and our livelihoods and our pursuit of happiness. Yet we can recreate what we would consider the American dream. In fact, we can surpass anything that's ever been promised to us if we go within and find our heart center. And to do that, we have to be able to let go of fear. We have to recognize illusion and replace that with knowledge and with wisdom. And with that, I'm going to bring a man on Evident Footprints. He's not been with us before. However, he has been on the radio himself for many years. He's been on countless shows. He has a very strong background in music, and he is also an herbalist, or we could call him an urban shaman, as well as a kinesiologist of sorts. And we're going to get into the specific aspects of his work and his teachings and what he is going to bring to us. I'm sure you're going to find very enlightening. With that, I would like to welcome to Evident Footprints, Dr. B. Dr. B, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. I've had a very busy day, very productive day, but I got to be creative, and so I'm feeling good. Feeling
great.
Good. And I got to hear your music tonight, which was a treat, and we're going to be sharing some of that with the audience in a little bit. But I wanted you to give the listening audience a little brief summary of your background and make them feel at home.
Well, I started out as a musician many, many years ago as a child. I studied percussion and learned about rhythms. I studied spiritual Afro and Afro-Cuban percussion as a child and began to understand what rhythm was all about and how rhythms could change the way we think, the way we feel, that rhythms and drums were used for language and they were used for not only for celebration but to send messages great distances. Even when the drums can't be heard, they can be felt because it's like dropping a pebble into a lake. The ripples travel throughout the universe, and the universe connects to the omniverse, and we are all one, and everything in the universe is in ourselves. In fact, it's very interesting how there's an old saying, as above, so below. So music took me into, you know, performing. I kind of got out of the spiritual side of music because it kind of scared me, you know. I mean, I saw some things happen that were actually really shocking in it. As a 16-year-old, I wasn't prepared, as many of us are, for the journey that we have to take through our inner self, because basically my parents were of the industrial age and go to church and do good, go to college and forget all that other stuff and pray. So we were basically taught that there were things outside of us that was more powerful than what was inside of us. So by me not being prepared for the things that I saw and felt musically happening, I kind of got fear. And fear led me into playing more, you know, commercial music. I got into lots of bands as a percussionist. And I did that until a couple of friends of mine got signed to a very big contract that was run by some quote-unquote gangsters. And I decided it was time for me to move out west. So I came out to California and, you know, decided that I wanted to be a famous artist.
Mm-hmm.
Got into the music business for a little while there and found out that the artist was basically kind of the puppet. And I didn't like being the puppet, so I moved from that into production. I began to produce and engineer. I got a job here in Los Angeles working as a salesman. I sold high-end audio gear because I was into electronics. I used to take radios apart and things like that, put them back together. And that job actually taught me to become an engineer because I had to sell high-end studio equipment, and I had to know how to run it to use it. So I basically taught myself engineering and production, began to work with lots of people, you know, producing. And I kind of stumbled into a lot of money because I met a guy who was he was a DJ. And he said, hey, man, you know, you're kind of starving trying to produce this jazz and R&B and this avant-garde type stuff. He says, you know, there's this thing, man, rap music. We should get into that. We can make a lot of money, which we did. And we became the first people on the West Coast to have gold records and platinum records in rap. So we were kind of the progenitors of the rap music scene on the West Coast. And the part that I brought to it was the musician side, bringing real music instead of just, you know, turntables and samples and things like that, because I was really grabbing the actual instruments and the actual vibrations of the time when those old records that they were sampling, I knew the instruments that they used and the vibe that they were in, so I know how to recreate them.
Mm-hmm.
So we became very, very big as, you know, record producers, but I was unhappy because I was making a lot of money, but I was doing music that didn't seem like it was feeding me. I mean, it was at first because it was about, you know, the music was about coming out of the ghetto and rising, and it was about things happening in the ghetto because a lot of the rappers were street griots, you know. They were teaching. They were telling true stories of life. But then this thing called gangster rap came in. And at that time, I knew that this was probably the end of my road in the music, in that part of the music industry, because it was all about, you know, fighting and killing and murder, and I found out who was controlling it. And this was interesting. When I found out who was controlling the rap industry, it was shocking to me. These were people with suits on. They were millionaire billionaires. They were the type of people who run the Fortune 500 companies, and they were dictating to me exactly what kind of records. They even would tell us, they would give us a list. How many curses, what kind of curses, how many drive-bys to put in a song before they would sign the artist. And if you did this, they'd give you, you know, $200,000, $300,000. So at that point, I just kind of began to look at other ways to make music, and I went back to what I was doing originally, which was more conscious music, but the record companies blackballed me. They said, hey, man, you're a rap producer. We don't want this other stuff from you. We want rap from you. So at that time, I began to be sick. I mean, physically, mentally, I just didn't feel good. I had eaten everything. I drank everything. I did everything you did as a big-time record producer with no consciousness. I was dead. And the doctors basically did actually give me a year to live. And I had heart disease. I had kidney disease, liver disease. I had some bacterial infection in my sinuses. I had something called Raynaud syndrome. I mean, the list went on and on and on. And I would go to sleep at night and stop breathing. You know, I mean, I used to go to sleep thinking that this was going to be my last night. And around that same time, a huge record mogul who I won't mention offered me $50 million to open their West Coast division. So here I am looking at death and $50 million. What am I going to do with $50 million if I'm dead? So I basically decided to walk away from the entire music industry because I saw that it was being controlled by a group of people who were the puppet masters. And they were the hidden hand, and they were using music, sound, and vibration to control the people. And I was directly part of this for a long time, unknowingly. So at this point, I went on trying to save my life, and I wanted to live. And the doctors, I asked them, I said, hey, doc, what do you do for a living? He says, well, I practice medicine. I said, you practice medicine? My brother's a mechanic. If he practices on people's cars, he's not going to be a mechanic for long. Can you give me another description? I'm a little worried here because you're giving me a death sentence. And, you know, you seem like you know what you're talking about. What else, how else could you describe what you do? He says, well, we are into disease maintenance. Disease maintenance? That means to keep, to maintain. You're maintaining the disease. I need one more description, doc. I'm a little worried here. He says, well, we treat illness. You treat the illness. That's like giving the illness a gift. I have never heard him speak of helping me at all.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that his jacket looked the same as the butcher's jacket. And he had no cross. He had no Bible. He had no Quran, no Bhagavad Gita, no crystals. Nothing in the building seemed to be of a spiritual nature. And this guy is being like a prophet. I mean, he talked like Moses, telling me I'm going to die. And I realized that this guy has not a clue. So I basically got out of there quickly, and I searched and searched, and I ended up meeting a guy who looked at me and told me exactly what was wrong with me and how I was eating myself to death. I went to a lecture, and that day I stopped eating meat. That day I stopped hanging out with a bunch of friends that were basically, you know, on the other side. And I changed my life that day. It took one day because I figured out, At some point, I figured out that the longer you wait to change, the more weight the change has on you. So the heavier you are, you're stuck because you're waiting. So you get heavier. You know, people say, well, I'm going to change one day. Well, I'm just going to smoke for 6 more months. In 6 months, it's going to be much harder to stop smoking than it is right now because you're going to be heavier. So I changed in one day. And from that point, I began to study herbs, nutrition. I basically began the study with a lot of people who you'd consider ethno-nutritionalists. And basically what they say is that certain people are from certain parts of the world, and there's medicine that the Most High put in those places for them. And if you use those particular medicines on those people, they'll heal quicker. Not to say that we can't use medicines from other parts of the planet. We're just saying that God wouldn't put a person from Switzerland's medicine in Jamaica. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I studied with a guy who was a Dogon priest, and he's also one of the top botanists in the world. I studied with him for a while. I studied with a person from India, a little bit of our Ayurvedic medicine. Then I got into, you know, a lot of the European medicines, And of course, my background also was into UFOs, and I studied, all kinds of scientific stuff that, you know, I thought was really interesting, and I never realized how important these things were going to be in my life. You know, even things like watching Twilight Zone. I mean, now I'm mm-hmm. actually seeing those things happen, you know. But, yeah, so that's how I got into this whole thing. And I still am into music. I just got into a different side of music. But my major thing is helping people help themselves, because I realized that after a year of staying on a strict regimen, changing the way I thought, the way I felt, changing the way I spoke, and changing my diet, that all of my incurable diseases were gone, every single one of them. And another interesting thing, I went back to my doctor after about a year just to get a little checkup. And he said he had the wrong medical records for me. It was impossible. I couldn't be the same person. I mean, because, you know, he figured I was going to be dead. Mm-hmm. And about 3 years later, I went back to sue the guy because I found out that I had a case, and he was dead. So I guess, you know, he took a little bit of his own medicine and died. Yeah. But anyway, that's how, you know, the life of Dr. B got started.
Well, you sound like you were in training to become the next host of Evident Footprints, is what you sound like. You are paralleling many, many aspects of my own life, particularly in music. Now, I have worked and studied music. I have performed in all venues of music throughout my career, everything from classical through rap. And one of the things I became aware of at a young age was what you described. You are just testifying to something that I have been telling my listening audience for over a year about the music industry and how it's used to control society, that there are subliminal messages, there are techniques used in the sound frequencies, in the lyrics, in the presentation, in the actual live events, the lighting, the images that are used, and the focus on the physical and the mental aspects of this thing we call a matrix here, this paradigm of control and illusion and idol worship. And and when you cause an individual to focus on those things constantly, and it's reinforced with all of this energy and this power and this, it's music itself is not bad. It's how it's misused. It's how the natural laws of sound reproduction or sound creation and the art form, how it's sort of bastardized to keep us in this lower frequency. That is the essence to the problem. I'm sure you would agree with me on that.
You know what's interesting? I had a wonderful experience when I was about 16. I played with a man named Jackie McLean. I know you know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
He ran a school in Connecticut where I grew up called the Artist Collective. And this was a place in the inner city where we could, you know, go and learn instruments, saxophone, you know, piano, conga drums. Mm-hmm. And I went there several times to learn how to play conga drums, professionally, because the way I was playing was not correct. I knew that, because I couldn't get the sounds that Santana and Mongo Santa Maria and those guys were getting, those bands had these sounds I just couldn't recreate. But there was, every time I went there, the percussion teacher had either just quit, or he just left, or he went back to jail. There was always some drama with the percussion teacher. So after going a couple times, Jackie comes to me and he says, "Hey, young man, you're here every Tuesday." He says, "Why don't you run the percussion class? Why don't you be the percussion teacher?" I said, "Hey, I'm just a child. I'm coming here to learn how to play." He says, "Well, the best way to learn how to play is to teach." He says, "So you're going to be the new percussion teacher." I mean, I'm sitting here looking at this guy thinking he's got to be crazy. And he says, "All you got to do is close your eyes and don't think. Do not think. Just breathe." And he left me in this room. And the next Tuesday, I decided to go around the neighborhoods and ask children, if they wanted to play percussion. Within a couple weeks, I had a full class full of children, and I began to just teach them real basic stuff that I was learning. I had just learned it. But the best way to learn something is to teach it or to talk about it. You know, so I was becoming a great percussionist by teaching. And, you know, Jackie, after about 6 months, after he heard my class, he said, wow, this is incredible. He said, would you like to jam with us one day? So I go to the rehearsal. And I'm sitting here with these guys, some of the greatest musicians in the world.
Players.
And I'm the percussionist.
Yeah.
Okay? Michael Carvin on drums. I mean, these were some really, really incredible guys. And I'm just a kid kind of sitting in. Or a child, not a kid. Big difference. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Jackie says, the first song, we're going to shoot straight out to Sirius. And we're going to go around Sirius A, B, and C. And we're going to come back. And we're going to go around the moon 3 times. Then we're going to St. Louis. We're going to hit the mounds in St. Louis. Then we're going straight out to Saturn. And then he talked about all the planets and these different star systems. And he says, at that point, we're going to go to the next song. And then he described that next song in these very eclectic. I mean, at the time, I didn't know what the heck he was talking about. So I said, excuse me, Mr. McLean, I don't understand. I mean, what am I supposed to play? He says, you're not supposed to play. He says, the universe is going to play you. You're going to be a vessel. Open up and let the universe use you. I never forgot that. I never forgot that. And he said, you're going to see a light or a candle. That's going to be like your focus. We're going to call that like your idiom. You're going to move towards that point and just stay on that point, and we'll take you the rest of the way. And that is one of the things that we have to remember. If we stay in focus and stay in the moment, because we get caught up in the past. We're worried about the past, and today is today, and yesterday was yesterday, and yesterday's gone, but you're acting like yesterday is today. If you listen to most people's conversation, they're talking about yesterday. Yesterday, what had happened?
Well, let me tell you what happened, Doc.
I mean, what's happening now? How do you feel?
I feel pretty good, but the doctor says that I have cancer.
Well, do you feel like you have cancer right now?
Well, no, I don't feel any problems, but he says I have it.
I mean, can we just breathe for a minute? Okay? And then they start talking about the future.
Well, what's going to happen in 5 years?
Well, can we deal with this moment? Because as long as you're dealing with yesterday and tomorrow, there's no room in the moment for today. Because today your body is saying, we are new. Everything is okay if you're thinking that way. If you're thinking that the coast is clear, there's no danger, then your cells of your body, they go into growth mode or love mode, and they make new healthy cells. They call that cell mitosis.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking about the past or something that happened, even if it was 20, 50, 40 years ago, if you're thinking about that in this moment, then the extracellular fluid in your body vibrates, because it's there's 7 oceans in your body. They vibrate just as if a pebble was dropped in the water. They vibrate with whatever you're vibrating on, whatever you're focusing on. So if you're focusing on something disagreeable from the past, then every cell in your body says, hey, go into protection mode. And you know what's interesting? The cell can only do one thing at a time. Move towards growth and love, or that cell is going to move into protection mode. It's going to sit there. It's going to shiver, and all the blood flow in the body is going to go away from the defense system, and it's going to go to the muscles, because the body figures we're about to run. Something's happening. We got to get out of here. I mean, even if you're watching a lion on television, the lion pops up. Your conscious mind says, oh, it's only a lion on television. Your subconscious, which is running the show, the subconscious says, hey, there's a lion. We have to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So all the blood flow leaves the places where it was healing, and it says, don't worry about that right now. We've got to run. Just check this out, man. Here you are in the bed, and let's say you had the flu. You can't even get up. People are bringing you tea, you know what I'm saying? You can just barely make it to the bathroom. Oh, I can't, I feel terrible. Suddenly, fire alarm goes off. You jump out of the bed, put your clothes on, if you've got time, and you run out into the street. Like Superman. Well, what just happened? A few minutes ago, you couldn't even move. Because the response of the body says, we must survive. You see? So adrenaline is pumped. Cortisol is pumped. Everything, your entire system is at 1,000%. Because now there's an emergency. But just think. Most people feel there's an emergency every second of every day. That's this whole terrorism thing. I mean, no terrorist has ever come to my house and caused me any harm. You see? But as long as I watch the news, as long as I listen to the conversations around the community, then I'm going to be in fear most of the time. If you step out of fear, which is false evidence.
False evidence appearing real. Yeah.
Or false expectations appearing real. And just breathe for a second and say, you know, I am in a safe place. I am healthy. I am healing. I am grateful. All of a sudden, the cells in your body go into growth mode, and you begin to make healthy cells. And that's what meditation was all about. You know, if you could get you know, it's the cessation of thought. If you could stop all these thoughts, but most people, when they meditate, they're thinking about too many things. They got techniques. They got to remember this, breathe at this point, you know, lift your leg, you know, hold on to this. So, of course, to a lot of people, that's stressful because they don't understand that it's the simplest things that make the most sense, you see. So these are the things that I had to learn to heal myself. These were the things, because once I got out of this music business, I mean, I was making a lot of money. All of a sudden, there's no money coming in, and all the money is going out. And, you know, you get this lifestyle, right? you're making a lot of money, right? You know, you live like 10 steps above, you know, where you should. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
fear comes in because how am I going to live? Yeah, I'm being really positive. I'm taking my herbs, but how am I going to survive? You see? So I had to learn how to just focus on the rhythms of life each day. What is the rhythm of the day? And don't ask people, because people mostly are controlled by, you know, television. You know, the news, the 6 o'clock news. And they tell you just before the news comes on, these stories and more in a moment. They're stories. I mean, this is a legal statement. We're not going to tell you the truth. We don't have facts. We're selling commercials here. Now, you watch this. We're going to scare the hell out of you because you need to buy this stuff.
Which is going to make you feel better.
Yeah. You know, the scariest stuff is at the end. They keep telling you. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're hitting on so many points. You really are, and I don't mean to sound like I'm cutting you off in midstream here. You're touching on many, many points that we discuss on this show all the time, and my listening audience will confirm that as well. They have often emailed me, or I will personally have the opportunity to chat with some of them on the phone, and I get these continuous messages. You're talking about a lot of scary stuff, but the way you're presenting it, it's understandable. It's easy to deal with it, and I've moved out of the fear mode, and I'm healthier, or I'm happier, or I want to help. You know, it's moving people to positive action, and this thing about change, that's one of the current words in the news these days, change, although there's no description for what kind of change, and things are changing all the time, whether we recognize it or not. The idea here you're talking about is taking control, being in control of the change, and still abiding by universal law.
Exactly.
Going with the creation, the way it was made to work. It doesn't need our tweaking to make it work. Quite the contrary, what you're saying is all we have to do is stop and listen, and it's going to present itself to us instead of just accepting whatever we get as the reality. And that's so true. What you're talking about, the media, I'm constantly pointing that out to my listening audience, that they have a way of presenting things to us that seem very real because it's all orchestrated to fit everything else. Like you said, you know, why not talk about the positive, uplifting stories in the news? Well, it doesn't put the fear of God in anyone. It doesn't allow you the opportunity to rubberneck like when you're on the freeways in Los Angeles. People will rubberneck and you'll have a 10 or 20 mile long traffic jam. And when you get to the place where the traffic jam begins, there's a guy off the side of the road changing the tire on his car.
Exactly.
But everybody has to look to see if they get that glimpse of blood, that glimpse of death, because then they can reaffirm that they have escaped death.
Yes.
That's really subconsciously what's going on.
Exactly.
Even if the guy is, or the guy might just be taking a leak, you know.
That's right.
I'm hearing what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense, and I hope the listening audience is getting the picture, too, because this has come out more than once on this show. Now, with a man with your experience, a man with your accomplishments, and your desire to bring this message to people, it's a whole new flavor. For many people and the new listeners out there, this is the first time, so... I'm honoring what you say. I'm just confirming it. I know that to be the truth. Now, go ahead.
You know what's interesting is when Jackie McLean said to me to just concentrate on these celestial bodies, Sirius, Saturn, I mean, he mentioned planets and moons and even places on the Earth, they're vortexes. They're windows, they're doorways. Some of the things that we see in the sky aren't even there anymore. In fact, did you know that they said the Earth is not round?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason everybody thinks it's round is because they showed you pictures, and they kept telling you it's round. And they always say, these are pictures from space. How do we know they've been in space? How do we know they've really been on the moon? I mean, we go by what they tell us.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And, you know, why did they go to the moon? I mean, if it was just a rock, you know, why did they go there? And why did they spend so much money when they could feed people? I mean, what are they doing on the space shuttle? I mean, what are they doing, on the space station? What is that all about? If something happens, if we need somewhere to go, I mean, how long can we live in that can? You know, we're up in a beer can floating through space, you know, eight of us. How long is that going to last?
Yeah.
Interesting enough, I found out that there was this thing called parasites. And it's a phenomena. It's not just a thing. It's a phenomena. We took our parents on a 50th anniversary. My brother got these real cheap tickets. So the whole family could go. It was only like $200 a ticket. We're going to Nassau. We get to Nassau, and Storm Eduardo comes. We got to leave Nassau now. And guess where we got to go? South. Now, all you got to do is get your map out. If you're in Nassau and you go south, you're in the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this at the time, of course. I'm just on the boat trying to have fun, you know, and trying to fast because they're eating everything in the world that could kill me. So I'm attempting to live drinking lots of water and eating fruit that's, you know, a year old. But anyway, we end up at the place that I had a lot of fear built around because I studied things like the Bermuda Triangle and all that stuff as a child. I mean, I watched all the movies, and it was always negative. Terrible things always happened. People died. They disappeared. We don't know what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Seven planes just disappeared suddenly. Their compasses went crazy, and we don't know what happened. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, you know, they have these shows about the mysteries of certain things, and you watch the two-hour show, and at the end, you don't know any more than you knew in the beginning. I wonder why we watch those shows. But I used to watch all of them, you know what I mean? So I was scared. I didn't know what to expect. And I went and sat on the bow of the boat. And there's a long story that goes with it. I'm giving you the short version. I sat on the bow of the boat, and tears began to come out and run down my face because I noticed that all the men on the boat, not the passengers, but these are the crew, had their life jackets on with the little light blinking. And I knew that meant that they're planning to be in the water soon. And suddenly, I looked at the moon. It looked huge. I mean, if you held your arms out, you know, you couldn't put your arms across the moon. That's how big it was.
and all the hairs on my arms stood up straight. And I just felt this real, you know, just imagine the lowest bass note. You know those real low notes that hit on the organ sometime when the preacher says something? It's a note that they hit sometime that you really don't hear, but it moves the liver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know what you mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they got it. It's all coordinated, you know? Anyway. I get this feeling, and I'm like trembling, and there's like this real deep vibration, and suddenly, bam! Now, this is maybe about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Suddenly, the sun is coming up. The sky looks like all the clouds, somebody took their fingers, like a child took their fingers and stuck each finger in a different color and made rainbows all over the sky, swirls all over the sky. The water was like a lake. This is the ocean. There was not one ripple. I'm sitting here. I've been sweating. I guess I don't know what happened. I looked at my watch. My watch is still set to this day. It's like it's fused at the time when this thing happened to this point right now. I looked down in the water, and there was thousands of dolphins. This is on a Carnival cruise boat, okay? The dolphins make a circle, an oval, all around the boat, going counterclockwise. I had no idea what happened. I mean, and right around this time, I hear the boat start up. I mean, I look up, and I can see the captain and all those guys up there, you know, in the bridge, and they're starting the boat, and they got this, everybody's got this weird look on their faces. Now, all the passengers are downstairs sleeping drunk because they gave everybody free liquor and all the pork chops you could eat. Me, I look, if we're in the Bermuda Triangle, I want to see what's happening. You know, if we're going to die, I want to know. But we didn't die. Something happened to me. And the
it
only
sounds
thing
like
I knew,
you went into a dimensional portal. You actually were transcending the third dimension, going into another space and another time. To me, that's what it sounds like.
I can tell you that from that day on, I kept seeing the numbers 189 and 104, and I kept drawing them. I was sketching them, and I was trying to tell my family, you know, we were in the Bermuda Triangle last night. They looked at me like, you know, here we go again. He's always into some weird stuff with some wild stories. Because, you know, I'd seen UFOs before and followed them, and they followed me. And, you know, all kinds of stuff happened when I was young. I mean, you know, a lot of stuff happened. I lived right near Command Aircraft in Connecticut. And, man, they tested all kinds of stuff. I mean, there was lights. There was stuff going on constantly at Command Aircraft. Okay? And, you know, that's if you just look up Command Aircraft, there's a whole vortex there. You know, they covered it up with a tobacco field and, you know, tobacco pickers were disappearing and all kinds of stuff. So, but anyway, I didn't know what happened to me, and I couldn't explain how I felt. And you know, when I got back on a Sunday, and I had to do a lecture because I used to lecture every Tuesday and every Saturday. And there was a place here in Los Angeles called The Good Life where, you know, a lot of people would meet, and I had a big audience of people because I was. You know, I'd do comedy and jokes and voices and all this stuff, and I'd be talking about some really deep stuff, but I'd make it real fun. So folks liked me, you know. And this day, people came out for their Tuesday night laughs, and I got on the stage and lectured about parasites for 3 hours straight. Never studied one parasite. Didn't know anything about them before this. I mean, I had so much information. It was like I remember being like under control, like my mouth was just moving. And I was drawing diagrams, I was sweating, I was talking fast. I'm showing all these different dimensions, I'm talking about the interdimensional parasites, I'm talking about all of this stuff. And at the end of the lecture, the room was quiet. And a little old lady stood up, and she said, "Dr. B, now that you've scared the hell out of us, what do we do about these things?" I looked at her. I said, "I don't know." They actually chased me out of this place. The information that I gave, and I don't even totally remember the entire lecture. I'm still trying to track a person down that actually recorded this lecture. Okay, they seem to be mysteriously, But anyway, from that time on, I didn't want to lecture anymore because I had this information. I'm seeing these numbers and these shapes and having these weird dreams. My life has changed. I don't know what the heck is going on. So I went to see a friend of mine who is a medical anthropologist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of my teachers. And he says, hey, man, you need to go to this place in Glendale, California. And there's a place there where they got rows and rows and rows of books on parasites. So I went and I started reading about all these parasites, the same stuff that I saw and felt was in these books. And I said, how could I know this? So a man came to town. His name was Dr. Ando, Dr. Kwaku Ando. He is a very, 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 very powerful botanist. He, his father, uncle, and grandfather named almost a third of the plants in Africa. Okay? This is a whole family of botanists from Africa. And he also is a Dogon priest. Now, if you ever want to study some people, check out the Dogon people. Okay? They'll tell you they're not from here.
Mm-hmm.
But this man is coming to town to do a lecture, and I want to go to learn more about herbs, and he didn't talk about any herbs. He talked about a wall in San Francisco that had a mysterious sighting happened on this wall over a two-week period. The life of man on Earth was projected from somewhere 24 miles out in the ocean on a wall in San Francisco. The wall
wow.
is 2 miles long. It's a retaining wall. It keeps the ocean from, you know, washing away the city. And this guy, Dr. Ando, he actually filmed these, they were like three-dimensional, you know, graffiti. But it talked about life coming from three different places in the galaxy to Earth. And this is all on the wall. And all he's doing is showing the information. And I'm like, this guy's crazy, man. What is he talking about? And then he says, and one of the places that we come from is star coordinate 189 or something like that. He had a long number, but it started with 189. And he said the other one is 104. Well, I had been seeing 189 and 104 in my head. So I begin to shake. And I'm like going crazy. This is it. This is what I've been looking for. So the lecture's over now. The guy, you know, people are hugging and kissing him, and there's hundreds of people around him, and I'm leaving, and he says, Dr. B, don't leave without talking to me. So I run up to this guy, and I'm like, do you know me? He says, of course I know you. The prophecy has come true. And he calls his wife, and his wife says, oh, my God, he looks just like in the dreams. His wife had been dreaming about me for 7 years. And he said, do you have the formula? I said, what formula? He says, for the parasites that have come through the wormhole. I'm like, what? He says, that's right. You know what I'm talking about. You were at the coordinate. You were downloaded with the information. And it was said for many, many years that you would come to help solve the problem of the parasites. Now I'm really scared because this guy, you know, first of all, he's a scary looking guy. You know, he's got his eyes are bloodshot red, his hair standing on end. And, you know, this guy, he does some amazing things with plants. He's known all over the planet. And I told him, I said, well, I kind of got a little formula in the car I've been working on for worms. He says, well, go get it. I get the formula. He grabs the bag. He closes his eyes. And he says, this is not it. And he throws it down on the ground. And I said, well, what is it? He says, I don't know, but one of the herbs is in Egypt. There's another one in the Caribbean. And another one is a Native American herb. And when you put those together, your formula will activate. And you'll need to use crystals, and you'll need to use sound to help activate it to the ninth degree. So I don't know what this guy's talking about. I'm nervous. He tells me to call him the next day, and he curses me out for an hour. And he tells me that the reptilians were controlling me. Now, I'm thinking about the reptilians I used to study. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they talked about these, you know, beings that turned into reptiles and all this. But no, he's talking about the reptilian us, the lower nature, the part of us that is about me, 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 me. And he's saying that the lower natures are controlling me and that I've got to raise my vibration to the higher nature to be able to complete this formulation. So, long story short, I end up coming up with the formula. I took it back to Dr. Ando, and he said, this is the formula. You're going to need to augment it every 4 months. Now, mind you, at this time, I'm thinking only of the parasites like Cryptosporidium, Giardia lambia, you know, the parasites that are in tap water, and, you know, you get them from touching people and breathing air and all that kind of stuff. But no, there's several types of parasites. There's the parasites that are in our subconscious that we create. There's the parasites that are interdimensional parasites. That's parasites that move from realm to realm.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the physical parasites we call worms, germs, vermin, and things like that. This formula that I came up with was a formula that would help work on two of them, at least the physical ones and the interdimensional ones. And every three to four months when the seasons change, what happens is a group of parasites go to sleep and another group of parasites wake up. Now, mind you, there's 2,000 different types of parasites that can live in and on human beings. I mean, you know, you shook somebody's hand today, you got what they got. And see, the Germans did the most studies on this originally, and they were called worms.
Mm-hmm.
See, worms. And, which were also worms. And, you know, the Americans were, yeah, had a little problem with the Germans, so they began to call them germs. As a joke, you know what I'm saying? The worm, mm-hmm. the germs, you know, saying that the Germans were like parasites. You know, so that's why we call them germs today. But there's kinds that are very microscopic. There's some that they say are even subatomic. Now, I haven't seen them. Of course, if they're subatomic, then we can't see them. But they're vibrational. And
mm-hmm.
there are also ones that can grow to be 33 feet long in humans. And there's a tapeworm called the fireworm that can live in elephants that can be 150 feet long because that's how long their digestive tract is. These parasites are very intelligent. Some of them are 2.5 billion years old. I'm not talking about one worm. I'm talking about their species. They're very developed. They're very intelligent. Hundreds of times more intelligent than we are. Because as we're thinking about the past and the present, the only thing the parasite knows is the present moment. It thinks constantly about nothing. It doesn't even think. It doesn't need to think. It's about procreating and eating. And it uses you as the host. That's why they call parasite. Para mm-hmm. means beside, site means life. So this thing lives beside you. Now, some people say, well, I wash my hands and I go to the gym. Well, while you're at the gym and you're on the treadmill, guess what? The parasites are inside your body. They got little treadmills. They're doing the same thing. Some people say, well, Dr. B, I take a lot of herbs. I use Golden Seal. Well, guess what? There's a whole group of parasites that love Golden Seal. Because Golden Seal is not a natural plant. Golden Seal is a crossbred hybridized plant. If you want the original, you're going to have to get Oregon grapefruit. You see? You're going to have to get barberry. Those are the original plants that they put together to make what you call Golden Seal, which they can grow anywhere. That's why they hybridized a lot of things, so they could grow anywhere under any conditions. So a lot of the herbs and vitamins that we take, parasites love. A lot of people say, well, Dr. B, what about wormwood? And what about black walnut and cloves? Well, guess what? Those herbs have been around for so long, most of the parasites recognize them, and they may kill the weak parasites, but make the strong ones stronger. And there's these new superbugs that we've got now from giving our body too many drugs or spraying the plants with too many pesticides. You got these things that have mutated into superbugs. I mean,
yeah.
They don't care about this stuff that we give them. I mean, it's like a joke. You go buy a $6 bottle of stuff at the herb store, and you take it, and you say, oh, God, yeah, I'm killing my worms. You're not killing anything. What you're doing is making something stronger. You're making it harder to kill. The herbs that I ended up picking were herbs that, you know, are not in the mainstream. Some of the product is not herbs, but it's crystal elixirs. We run the waters that we use to make the herbs through crystals. Some of the sounds that we use, frequencies that almost can't be measured, almost like a white noise.
Or ethereal, let's say, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That we use while we're making this, there's a point that I call pulsing,
where we pulse these sounds into the herbs. And I use these pots that the Chinese use a lot. They are actually singing pots. As you boil your product in them, they hum. They make a sound. And it was really strange when I was looking for pots. You know, I was like looking for pots, and this Chinese guy said, well, you need a special singing pot. What the heck is a singing pot? All this crazy stuff. I got to get stuff from here and there, and now I need a singing pot. What the heck
and
is that?
And hold the MSG.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. It was, a big journey. But the product that we have now, it's really, really interesting how it works, because some of it doesn't actually kill the parasite. Some of it closes its esophagus, and it changes the polarity of their reproductive organs so they can't mate. There's herbs that do that. One of the herbs that does that is neem. In fact, you have to be careful, because if you take too much neem, like if men take neem, after 6 weeks of taking this neem, or nimba, then your sperm polarity changes. And instead of it moving towards the womb, it moves the opposite way. Now, I'm not supposed to say this, but, do your own research. But if you look up neem, N-E-E-M, it is the world's greatest contraceptive. It's been known for thousands of years. And it's funny, because the only way you're going to stop certain parasites is to stop them from mating. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Some parasites, you have to dye them. You have to dye them with far infrared light. Because the far infrared light, first of all, is what your cells need to be at their highest frequency. Certain herbs have the far infrared light. And the far infrared light also keeps some parasites from being able to navigate and talk to each other. And interesting enough, there's another group of herbs that we use where their energy is so diverse. They're sending out so many frequencies that the parasites can't make a phone call to the other parasite. So they can't home in on the liver. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of diseases are connected to parasites. I mean, if you've got a lot of people with diabetes actually have the what's called the fluke worm. There's a fluke worm that comes from sheep and goat. If you've got that particular parasite in your pancreas, then your pancreas is not going to work correctly. There's another parasite that a lot of people have. They have it in their thymus gland. You know, the thymus gland makes the T cells.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And if you've got this particular, it's called a fluke worm, a flat worm, and they normally live in the digestive tract. They come from beef and chicken and stuff like that. And, they live in your digestive tract until they feel the vibration of one of your organs dropping. Because they've got these little hairs, parasites, and even your cells have these, receptors. They're like little antennas that they use to pick up information. Well, they get the information that some part of the body, the song is not right. Because each organ has a song. Each part of your body has a vibration. That's how it stays where it is and stays what it is. Because, this whole thing is an energy universe.
Mm-hmm.
So in the energy universe, the thymus is supposed to vibrate at a certain cycles per second. When it doesn't, the fluke worm begins to bore holes and swim through your lymph and through your blood system until it gets to the thymus. Now, what would make your thymus vibration drop like that? Well, one of the things is benzene. Benzene, that's the gas additive that they were using for a while.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how would that end up in your body? Soap. Many soap manufacturers use benzene. Even though it's toxic and it's poison, it's not supposed to be used. Remember, there's 10% that the manufacturer doesn't have to tell you. That's their trade secret.
Now, are they using that as a surfactant, or is that part of the covert plan to attack us?
Well, I'm actually at this point now where I don't even know if there's a covert plan. I think that some of this stuff is on automatic. I think what happens is, you know what I mean? I think at one point there may have been a plan. But the people that made the plan died, and then the new people came and changed the plan, and now there's no plan, but it's happening automatically that there's a group of people that are canceling themselves out. Because it's like, the garbage has got to rise to the top. So I think now, because people were talking to tell me a lot about the government and what they're doing. I don't think there's a government anymore. This is my own point of view. I think that we are the government.
we have to first, like we're talking about who we're going to elect. First, you got to vote for yourself. You're going to walk in there and push a button or, you know, hang a Chad or something, right?
Yeah.
You're going to go hang a Chad. And you have no idea who you are. How can you decide who's going to be president or governor or senator when you haven't voted for yourself and you got a bunch of parasites controlling your thoughts?
Exactly.
I mean,
and
you
we're
know,
not
think about
we're not just speaking metaphorically now either.
In that term
there, that's a different kind of parasite.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Some of the parasites were created in laboratories. This is not just the parasites that live on Earth, because, see, the natural parasites are here to eat dead, decaying flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's dead, decaying flesh in humans, and then we eat a lot of food that has that's dead and decaying. So you're eating parasites. You're shaking people's hands who haven't washed them. And if they did, they washed them with a soap that made the weak parasites die and the strong ones stronger. That's most of those antibacterial soaps. They're dangerous.
Yes.
You know? So you don't know people's habits. People are scratching and itching. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People go in the bathroom. They don't wash their hands. They come out. Their hands are drier than they were when they went in. I mean, people are passing stuff. There was a movie about this. I can't remember where the people were passing these entities, this entity from person to person by touch. This is real. Okay? It's just that the entities happen to be parasites. But some of the parasites are extremely intelligent. They tap into your nervous system. They send false messages to your brain. Forget the brain, because the brain is not even the most important thing. They play around with your neurons. You see? We've got, you know, there's more brain cells, more neurons on your skin and in your stomach than there is in your head. They now know this. I mean, we need to look at the work of Dr. Bruce Lipton. I mean, you know, he's kind of... He's one of the forerunners of this idea of epigenetics, you know, energy coming from outside the cell, controlling the cell. But the parasites have been into this a long time. So you may decide, well, I'm not going to eat any more chicken because, you know, I found out that chicken is a crossbreed. It was man-made. A chicken is a vulture and an African jungle fowl, and it's not natural and doesn't live in the woods. This is true, you know. You'll never find a chicken living in the woods. So I'm not going to eat chicken anymore. You go to the grocery store, and you'll be overlooking at all the wonderful greens and vegetables, and you're singing your song, and suddenly you hear, bah, 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 bah. You hear that in your subconscious, and you say, you know, let me just go over and look at the chicken. So you go over to the chicken aisle, because they do have a special place where the chicken is kept, and you see that it's like 99 wings in a pack for $2, especially if you got a club card. So you decide, oh, man, it's a barbecue this weekend, man. We could use these wings. And you buy the wings. Even though you have made the decision in your conscious mind that you're not going to eat chicken, your subconscious says, we need chicken because there's a barbecue. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Parasites begin to control your very thoughts. They need you to be at a low vibration. They need you to be upset. They need you to be angry. They need you to be disagreeable. They need you to be sad. They need you to be depressed. I mean, this whole thing about depression came about in the 70s. Nobody ever heard of it.
And in fear, too.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So the parasites need your vibration low so that they can live in you. Because if your vibration is too high, they can't survive in you. Okay? So with this particular herbal formula, it's like I've decided to vote for myself. I'm going to be the president of my universe, and I'm going to cleanse myself. So what we do is we have a 28-day formulation, and it's several herbs. It's over 100 and something different herbs that you take in a certain sequence. It's like a song. You have to play the song correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't let the parasites know you're trying to kill them, because if you do, they have... I mean, you know, you got parasites that can withstand 1,500 degrees. You got parasites that they find under the polar ice cap. I mean, in cubes of ice, alive. So, you know, what we think kills things, I mean, because people tell me, well, Dr. B, you know, I really cook my meat. You need to get a pottery kiln and put your nice steak in there and turn it up, and when your pottery, I mean, when your steak becomes a nice little white powder, maybe it's safe to eat. Until then, you're going to have to protect yourself by at least cleansing every time the seasons change. And you got to do it for at least 28 days. Because the parasites live in moon cycles. You know, they know the real month is 28 days. I mean, we don't know it, but we think there's a July with 30-something days. I mean, you know, I mean, they play with the calendar. Parasites know the true calendar. They're living with the star calendar. These are galactic beings. Do you see what I'm saying? So while you're cleansing, you've got to do this for at least 28 days. We call it the Total Paracleanse Program, Total Body Paracleanse Program. And in this program, we have herbs that work on the hormones. We have herbs that work on the liver. You've got to rebuild the liver and clean the liver at the same time. There's herbs in there that help clean the blood and rebuild the blood, because if your blood is not healthy, then, you know, everybody knows, all scientists agree with, if you don't have healthy blood, then you're not going to be healthy. And there's a tooth powder in there that kills the parasites in your teeth. If you don't kill the parasites in your gums, guess what? They wait till you finish your little, you know, $6 paracleanse that you bought from some store, right? And then they wake up. I mean, you can tell in the morning that something's been in your mouth because it's a terrible taste. What is that? That's the leavings of parasites. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a tooth powder in there. You know, I have a booklet in it that tells you how to live, what to eat. And we try to stay away from hybridized foods, you know, crossbred foods, things like that have a low vibration, because a lot of those crossbred foods, it takes more energy to digest them than they can give to your body. Remember, we're in an energy universe where they keep telling you you're in an energy crisis. People think that's got to do with gas. No, it's got to do with you. Your body's a battery. Are you charging it? And just sleeping and drinking the little water that's in a plastic bottle, is this all the stuff that's sucking energy out of your life, out of your body? You see? By listening to the news and hearing how terrible things is, you know, how terrible things are, each day your vibration drops. You've got to rebuild your energy universe. You've got to vote for yourself. Before you can go and walk into a voting booth, you have to know who you are. And most people don't know who they are. Most people have no idea.
You see? What you're saying, Dr. B, I often refer to as taking responsibility, claiming responsibility for oneself. And
exactly.
And I'm abbreviating what you're saying, of course, but I'm just affirming what you're saying. It's really about taking responsibility.
That's right.
Taking charge.
Once you do that, and then you've also got to look at, you know, there's interdimensional parasites. Well, what about them? What do we do about them? Crystals. There's certain crystals, certain formations of minerals that will keep anything away from you. One of them is serpentine, you know. The serpentine, I mean, that's what they say is in the wall in China. Serpentine.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I guess he's a gemologist, told us about the serpentine. Why do they use serpentine? Because it has this energy that looks like DNA that comes out of it. You can see it with Curlian photography. And this energy comes out, and they say it renews DNA. You know, and it keeps certain disagreeable entities out of you and away from you. So there's several crystals that we use also in the formulation. And also my wife, she makes really incredible crystal jewelry that, you know, once you understand the concept of energy, then you start looking at everything. You know, everything has energy. And there's a frozen, locked-in energy in crystals, you know, and everything in electronics that we use is got to do with crystals. I mean, crystals are real things. They're just not some more metaphysical, weird stuff, because, you know, every time they mention metaphysics, they always usually have some thing to say about whether it's true or not, but then they all of a sudden they've got quantum physics to explain it, you know, so they can patent it. Now it's quantum physics. I mean, we've had this forever. It's quantum physics. The physicist says, you know, but basically it's about vibration. And then the third part of this is the subconscious. The conscious mind can only process a few bits of information a second. The conscious mind sees everything as under a time clock. It sees things sequentially. It sees things divided into pieces. It sees things as male and female and up and down. That's the conscious. The subconscious sees things as a whole. The subconscious sees no time. The subconscious can process 40 million bits of information a second. That's what keeps your heart beating. That's what keeps you breathing. This is what keeps your kidneys filtering. The subconscious. But the subconscious is like a little child.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't filter the information. It doesn't
know. It takes
know
it literally, doesn't it?
It takes it literally. So when you say, I'm stupid, subconscious says, write that down. We're stupid. The conscious mind says, oh, I didn't really mean that. But remember, we're dealing with two different entities. There's two entities. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So the subconscious has been programmed not only from everything that has happened since you were conceived. Because remember, when you're developing, you know, in the womb, the subconscious or the energy of the cells, remember we were talking about the receptors on that cell, they're picking up information and, you know, cells are crystals basically. They're, you know, basically biogenetic crystals. Everything that the mother sees, smells, tastes, feels, every emotion she has is recorded in that crystal called the cells developing, called the embryo. But it goes deeper than that, man. When your mother was 4 months old, I think the number is 4 months, they say she makes all of the eggs that she's going to need. So the egg that made you was created in your mother when she was 4 months old, and it picked up every piece of information and did not filter everything that happened in her life. So some of the things that are happening to us that we blame on ourselves actually are coming from our mothers and their mothers. And their mothers. And we're not even going to get into the father's side of this because that's a whole other can of worms.
You know,
no pun intended. But,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, some of the issues that we have been brought to us because we're the sum combination of everybody that came before us. And there's some spiritual, mental, physical issues that we're supposed to fix that our forefathers and mothers couldn't fix. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is back to being responsible again.
Could now, I interject a question, Dr. B?
Please, go ahead, sir.
In terms of what you're speaking about, and I've done a number of shows on this topic, on a conscious level, of course, because let's say someone who's asleep, someone who's on the verge of waking up, or someone who has just awakened and they're searching for answers, comes to the reality that our thinking processes have been controlled. And of course, you and I understand that this has been done through the subconscious and it then in a way that it manifests itself in consciousness. So that in our waking state, we perceive everything that's happening to us as our reality, when in fact it has just been created for us either through subliminal suggestions or through the subconscious, the unconscious part of our awakened reality. Any comment about that?
Yes, and, you know, see, they use a technique, I'm sure you've probably talked about on your shows too, called cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
See, cognitive, that's how the brain works, or cognition is the way the brain works, and dissonance has to do with sound. Especially sound that is not harmonically attractive.
Yes.
It's dissonant. They're funny notes that we put together sometime that, you know, and it kind of does something to your nervous system. Well, what they'll do is they'll use like a Walter Cronkite, who is one of the greatest hypnotists in the world. And what he'll do is he'll speak in a certain voice, and he'll say, and that's the way it is. Well, mm-hmm. as he moved back and forth that paper, and he kept touching his ear as if he was talking. He had on this long trench coat, even when it was 100 degrees when he was in Vietnam. I mean, you know, nobody ever questioned this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess, you know, he was like the great detective with the trench coat on. You know what I mean? That's the symbol of the great detective, you know, Sherlock Holmes. And he spoke in such a way, and he had what we called an authority figure. This is on television. Television was new for most of us then. You see, this has got to be the truth. And at the end, he said, and that's the way it is. Well, you don't know that that's the way it is. You have no idea what was happening in this story. You see? But you believe it. Now, your subconscious picks this up, and even though you may have forgotten everything Walter Cronkite said in 1963 or whenever, your subconscious says, this is real. It happened. And your cells are holding on to, because they have this thing called cellular memory. They're holding on to this. You see? So we have to find a way to, how should I say? Get the signal lights in the body to say everything is okay. Because the signal light in the body is somewhere between red and yellow. Red and yellow. Red and yellow. Caution, caution, caution. I gotta be careful. You know, God, there's reptilians everywhere. There, the aliens are coming. There's the UFOs, they're all bad. All the aliens are bad. Well, you know, who told you this?
Mm-hmm.
Who said that all, who says that the little bug that just flew into your house is not an alien? How would you know? I mean, you know, you don't know. But you figure, that's a bug. It's just a bug. I'll kill it. But this could be the little bee that flies into your house that gives you the message that you need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the, you know, the indigenous people of this continent, you know, they talked about the animals, how the animal speaks. You know, and the animals have language. And when you see a certain animal or a certain bug, you might need to study the attributes of that particular entity or that, you know, that beast, because that thing may have a message for you.
It came
because
into
as
your
you're
space.
Walking down
yeah.
the path, yeah. say again.
I was just saying it came into your space, and it's likely
into
there to communicate.
Exactly. Just like, you know, all of a sudden I end up in the Bermuda Triangle. Well, I was in the music business. How do I end up in the Bermuda Triangle? Because I picked up a certain song. I can't tell you exactly what happened. People always want me to tell them exactly what happened. I don't know. What I do know is since that moment, I was open to a different reality, and without fear, at first I was afraid, of course, but without fear later on, I learned how to deal with strengthening my system and helping other people strengthen their systems so that they don't have to have the fear of the parasite. You see? Now, the thoughts that we hold on to that are disagreeable or limiting thoughts are parasitic. See, so the third part of the parasites has to do with our subconscious. What meditation attempts to do is to help you stop thinking about the things or get the body to say everything is okay. Because once we're in that mode where there's fear, once we're in protection mode, remember, blood flow goes to the muscles. And at that particular point, there's no healing going on. So the person with cancer, what are they always thinking about? Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I got cancer. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. Oh, I'm going to die. They gave me a year to live. How does the doctor give you a year to live? There's people that have had cancer, never knew they had cancer, and lived a happy life. As soon as they go to the doctor tells them, yeah, we found you got lung cancer. They start coughing. This is like going to the doctor, you know, your blood pressure is normal until he walks in. What do they call it? White coat syndrome? The guy walks in the room and suddenly your blood pressure shoots up. And he says, every time you come here, your blood pressure is high. Every time you come here, your sugar is high.
Yeah.
You see? So now before you even go there, you're thinking about going to the doctor, you think about your doctor, or you look in your medicine cabinet, and you look at all these prescriptions, you say, oh, my God, I'm going to die. My blood pressure is high. If I don't take these, I'm going to die. I got to take my pills. Got to take my pills. Well, your blood pressure is never going to come down by taking pills because all they're doing is thinning your blood. You see? And they thin your blood to a point where now you get cut, you may bleed to death. They say, don't use razors. Take these pills and don't use razors. And stay away from knives. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Man,
that's what he ought to say right on the drugs. Stay away from knives. You know?
Yes.
They tell you these drugs, they got so many side effects, you know. You're taking something that says it's going to help with your liver, but it's going to destroy your heart. going to blow your testicles away. Your ovaries are going to shrink. You know, this is what they tell you. Your tongue may turn black and blue. You may not taste any food, but you'll be dancing in the wind. They always show these people dancing in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game. But you can't blame them. We got to stop being upset with them because we make the choice. You know, we can't keep... The more energy you give them, the more energy they get.
Yes.
Like this guy was telling me, you know, he was telling me that somebody was making him mad. He's making me mad. He's making you mad? I mean, you have to let him make you mad.
You're allowing him. Yeah, exactly.
We're agreeing. We're making agreements every day. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We make agreements every day. Well, we need to stop some of these, you know, get rid of some of these contracts. Cleanse your body. Eat the best food you can. You know, don't eat with people you don't like. You see? If you don't want to shake a person's hand, don't shake their hand. Bow. Because you don't know what kind of energy they're going to, you know, give you.
Mm-hmm.
So just bow. You know? Listen to programs that are going to give you some type of way out. Because a lot of times we hear all this stuff and we don't know what to do. So now what do I do? Now
Doc,
what do I do?
I hate to cut you off, but this is a perfect moment for me to introduce your music to the listening audience. And I was thinking to myself, this is a time to take a breather. notice we didn't play any commercials tonight. I'm just trying to let the flow go through here. But I'm being a bit obnoxious cutting you off for the purpose of showing off your music and letting it speak for a moment. And we'll come back and we'll talk about this.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
That'd be great.
Okay, folks, you are going to hear the music of Dr. B. Sirius, and this is the first track on his album, Keys to the Inner Sanctum 1, and this is called Breathe. Thank you. And that's Dr. B's Breathe. Dr. B, I got a lot I want to say about that music. I'm wearing phones, and that just goes right down to the soul. There's a point, you know, every hit, they say a good song is going to peak about three-quarters of the way through. A hit will peak about three-quarters of the way through, and then the rest of the song is letting you back down to the ground. Yours did that to me, but when it did that, it was just chills. Just the vibration just reached the peak that I just got. That's how I get my spiritual confirmation, is through chills and or goosebumps, some people like to call them. I heard that low organ bass in there that you were talking about, that gospel bass. It's the music itself, rhythmically and just stylistically is reminiscent of so many really, really spiritual artists that made it big in the music industry. I hear a lot of Marvin Gaye in there. I hear some George Benson, some Earl Klugh. And then there's this element, you're sort of like a tenor Barry White. If you know what I'm saying. I'm trying to compliment you. It's just got all these positive elements of music that make us feel good. But there's a lot going on metaphysically. There's a lot happening with that music. Go ahead.
Well, the tenor Barry White is actually my partner, Akadama.
He
is a biochemist. He's an herbalist. He's a metaphysician. He's actually a minister of herbal medicine for a church. And he is a musician also. So on that first one, that's him speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, because he does Kundalini and, I mean, what is it called? Qigong. He's a Qigong master.
Okay.
And he's using the Qigong methodology through words, and there's a breathing exercise in that particular one. And he's
mm-hmm.
counting. And, you know, a lot of, most of the music, besides the percussion, I did a lot of that. And, you know, we're both percussionists together. He doesn't play, you know, anything besides percussion. So the melodic stuff, the keyboards and all that stuff was myself. But throughout the project, you know, it was interesting because, see, this project started in 2000, but
mm-hmm.
it didn't come to a peak till 5/5/2000. You know,
wow.
5/5/2000 was a huge shift.
Mm-hmm.
Huge shift. And that particular song was done on 5/5/2000. Something happened to us. And interesting enough, you know, that was the day my herbal formula stopped working. I used to have an herbal formula for years, since 1996, because that's when I have my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And on 5/5/2000, we, you know, the next day we went in the lab and we noticed there was no activity with the herbs. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what's going on? So it was my partner, Akadama, who actually, he had studied a lot more chemistry than I did. And,
mm-hmm.
Cause he, you know, he's always in college. He's in college now. He's probably going to be in college till he's 99. But, he basically helped me come up with a way to make the herbs work intracellularly. Because everything we were using before, you know, you had to make these teas, you had to take these capsules, it was a certain rhythm. But we had to get into the cell because the inside of the cell was where these new parasites and new diseases were beginning deep in the cell. Started on 5/5/2000. And from what I understand, they had to recalibrate satellites and everything on 5/5/2000. I mean, that was a powerful time. And as you know, now we're into the, you know, the Venus transit, which is what, from 2004 to 2012, which is the opening of the gateway to the feminine, the sacred feminine energy, which is the healing energy, which is the energy that says, you know, instead of me, 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 it's we. And instead of them, it's we. You know, if we start using that word we a lot more and stop disconnecting ourselves, we will become one again. So this particular music comes about to make us one again. The album is called, our group is called Urban Shaman. And that's H-E-R-B-A-N. That's H-E-R-B-A-N, Shaman. S-H-A-M-E-N. Urban Shaman. We've got a mic today, so.
Yeah, I love that name. That's a catchy name. I wanted to ask you, Doc, you had mentioned when you were going through this experience in the Bermuda Triangle and the two numbers that came to you, when you mentioned those numbers, a message came through to me. I wanted to ask you if you ever got to the bottom of that, and I'd like to share the message that came through.
I only got to it so far because it actually just opened me to being able to listen to the man who became one of my teachers. I never even got too much further with him, but I do know they were supposed to be star coordinates, I believe, for Orion's Belt and the Sirius Mystery.
Okay, that's very, very plausible. In fact, there is a counterpart. You were mentioning the dichotomies, and there's a counterpart here. And one is on, one has a meaning you're going to understand right away, and the other one also you will, but there, you will also see the differences. 189. When you said that number, the message pathway or passage or route came to me. And 189 is a spur of Highway 89. The spur runs 322 miles from Provo, Utah to Jackson, Wyoming. 322 is the number of skull and bones. Okay, now, 104, what came to me was spirit. Psalm 104, and I'd like to read just a couple of lines for the benefit of the listening audience. Bless the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are great indeed. You are clothed with majesty and glory, robed in light as with a cloak. You spread out the heavens like a tent. You raised your palace upon the waters. You made the clouds your chariot. You travel on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, flaming fire your ministers. You fixed the earth on its foundation, never to be moved. The ocean covered it like a garment. Above the mountains stood the waters. I stopped there, but you see this similarity to the description that you gave of the sunrise and the sky.
Wow.
This is what came through to me, and I just want to share that to you. And I got the goosebumps, so.
Wow, that's deep. I feel you.
And now the constellations play a big role also in what happens here for a variety of reasons. They're used as signposts, and likewise, we have signposts on the earth.
Exactly.
That represent certain things to those up there in the constellations.
Exactly.
Space travel and moving from one dimension to another plays a big role. So I just wanted to add that to what you described, because that came through immediately when you said the numbers.
Well, you know, they say space is the final frontier.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Well, if you listen to what they're saying, I mean, 90% of the galaxy is what they call space, what they thought was nothing, and now they say, well, no, there is something, there's this dark matter, and it's feminine because it's fluidic space, and only 10% of the galaxy is male or solid particles like planets and stars and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So 10% is solid, 90% is liquid, and it's space. So musically, the most important sound is nothing. It's the space between the notes. In fact,
yes,
when you change the distance between the notes, you change the rhythm. You change the timbre. You change the harmony. You change the whole flow and the color of whatever piece you're putting together. So space is the final frontier, but most of us didn't understand what they meant. Space, the final frontier, to go where no man has gone before. Well, this is meditation. This is a quiet place. This is where there is no thing. You see, like, you know, our whole number system is funny because we don't add zero. You got to start with zero before you can get to one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something's got to be off before you can turn it on. I mean, they start with one, but zero, you know, is no thing. It's no one thing. It's nothing doesn't mean that there's nothing. That means that there's no one thing. It's everything. Like, you know, The blackness is everything. Carbon is everything. You know, it's everything, all in one. You
it's
see?
The
so
alpha and the omega.
It's all in one, you see?
Yes.
And it's feminine, because only the woman, only in electronics, the cathode is the negative, which means no gates. The negative side of the electrical circuit makes the atoms. The positive, or the anode, only makes a spark.
The male only makes the spark. It's the feminine that waters the seeds. It's the feminine that opens us up to be reborn again. Now, we're not saying that all of us men need to become feminine. No, we're saying that we need to look at the sacred feminine side of ourselves. Because we've been very, you know, hey, they messed with us, let's go just blow them up. We think they got weapons, we'll kill everybody and we'll see who's left at the end. You know, kill them, you know, beat them down. And, you know, those are Christians, those are Jews. I mean, you know, we're always pointing this finger. That's very male. You see, we have to be more feminine. We have to be more open. First thing we have to do is cleanse ourselves. We have to be, see, if you don't cleanse yourself of the last 6,000 years, then you're going to drag that whole time, which they call the fall of man, with you. Because, you know, there's that whole 24 to 26,000 year calendar they call the great year. You know, every 16,000 years, the polarity flips. We're in the feminine side now. So this is healing. It's a healing time. It doesn't make any difference right now what the disagreeable entities are doing. It doesn't make any difference. We don't even need to focus on that. What we need to focus on is what are we going to do? I mean, if the gas prices go to $9 a gallon, what is that going to do? That's going to cause us to change and use a different type of energy. Get out and walk. You know what I'm saying? We can't look at it so... See, the thought pattern that we have has been programmed into us by the parasites called people that have been controlling things. And it's only been a few people controlling everything. Only the rich tell the story. Only the rich make the rules. But the meek shall inherit the earth. You see? It's now the time when the 5%, because you only need 5% of true light to enlighten a dark room. You could walk into a dark room with a small candle, one little flame, and enlighten that entire room. If that room was dark with the worst energy, one candle lightens it up. But now, conversely, if that particular room is totally lit up with love and peace and harmony, and you walk in with your little shadow, your shadow is going to stay in one place. You cannot endarken a beautifully lit room. You can't do it. It's impossible. You have to turn off the lights. Well, you can't turn off the lights of the poor righteous teachers. That doesn't mean you don't have money. That just means you're poor in heart and, you know, you're open. You're open to change. You're spiritual or spiritual. People say, well, you know, I'm spiritual. I don't even know what they mean. I have no idea what a person means when they say they're spiritual. And they come to me all the time. Well, Dr. B, I'm very spiritual. And I ask them, what do they mean? And they don't know. Well, that means, I study, I have crystals. I say a special prayer. let me see. It means, I go to church. I read the Bible. I read the Quran. I read the Bhagavad Gita. I do yoga. Yeah, I do yoga. That's right. No, I think, to me, spirituality means to change, to be spiritual. You started at one point, and you began to expand your knowledge. You're constantly changing and growing. Yeah, you used to hate this, and just like me, I used to hate salad. You know what I mean? I love salad now. You know, there were neighborhoods I was scared to go to. But now I'll go to any neighborhood because I am the light. You see, the light is in each one of us. If they look at your nervous system, I mean, you got this thing called the solar plexus. It's lit up. It's like daylight inside your body. There's fiber optics throughout your body. So the light of God, or whatever you want to call that entity that makes everything, or the oneness, it's in all of us. Each one of us is a small particle of that. But you have to protect your space. You got to clean up. You know, we wash our cars. You know, we make sure our clothes are clean and pressed. We wash our hair. You know, we make sure that we got our wig on. But what about inside the body? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We've got all this stuff going on. We make sure that we got our permanent done today. It's funny they call the permanent hairdo a permanent, and you got to keep getting it done. I mean, it's stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just something's not right here. This system was put together to play tricks on you.
Yes.
So you have to be responsible. You have to be able to respond. And you have to create your universe. So, you know, and I was talking earlier about the subconscious. And there's a wonderful technique called subconscious alignment technology, which is a part of psychological kinesiology.
I was just going to bring that point up, and you beat me to the punch. So, go ahead.
Man, this is incredible. First of all, they knew about it many, many years ago. I mean, if you lived in, you know, a village in Africa, and you were now a 13-year-old boy, they tell you to go and take this spear and come back and bring back a lion's tooth. Right? Now, if the boy doesn't come back, they pray for him. Right?
Yeah.
If he comes back with the lion's tooth, forever programmed in his head is, I can. If a person leaves Mexico and gets across the border, check out what I'm saying, and makes it and becomes successful and at some point becomes a citizen and starts business in America, they're programmed with the I can. And so aren't their children who watched it happen. You see, most of us United States quote-unquote citizens, we don't have any I can vibrations in our head. I mean, everything is messed up because there's too much information coming. There's too many billboards, too many commercials, too much news. You know, before we had all this news, we were more successful. You see, it's too much information sometimes. You see, we're on overload. We don't know what to think. Well, you know, with this MySpace, it's not even yours. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Your friends. You don't know these people. You know what I'm saying? How are they your friends? I mean, we begin to change the definition of words. They're not your friends. They don't pick you up at the airport. You know what I mean?
It's interesting that you brought that point up. I wanted to talk about how I see languages. I speak, read, and write several languages, and I noticed some peculiarities about the English language. And I've mentioned this on a few shows over the past year. It's like the word apart. Okay? We visualize the meaning of the word, or we understand the meaning of the word apart to be separated. And yet when you separate the words, the letters to form two words, A and part, you now have something that means to belong. And so even our language speaks a dichotomy. It speaks opposites. It's in symbology, in the basic letters that we use to spell out words. And so if one does not understand the words or really examine the words that they're using or the words that they're thinking, we can say many things that we would not intend to say if we knew what they meant. The word want, the word need, the word try, the word maybe, the word believe are all conditional words and don't really express the truth about our desire or our knowledge. You get the point I'm making, is that...
Exactly.
That, we disempower ourselves, or we allow ourselves to be disempowered, because we don't really pay attention to what we're saying. The word remember is thought of as a thinking process. It's something that happens as a result of thinking. And yet, remember really means to regenerate, or to rebuild, or to create again. Or anew. And so our outlook on our perceptions could change totally and affect our consciousness overnight or immediately.
That's right.
If we would just see the true meaning of the words that we're using when we're expressing how we feel or what's on our mind or our desires. And I prefer to use the word desire as opposed to want, because every time somebody says a prayer, Lord, I want to be successful, or pray to the universe, I need money to pay my rent, we're sending out that message, I lack money. I lack being successful. And the universe takes us literally for whatever we send out as an intention. And so... even in our speech, even in our thought patterns, we sabotage ourselves. Do you agree with that, or
I agree, because we use words like wish, and if you follow the etymology of the word wish, you end up at won't. It won't happen, because you're wishing. You're not getting up doing any work. You know. I listen to people all the time, and they spell themselves into disaster. You know, if you look at the word spelling, you know, this is on a spiritual level here. You're casting,
yes.
You're spinning a web, and people don't know how they got into their position. Many of the diseases we now know, they come from the spirit realm. They come from other realms, and they take a long time for you to actually manifest them, like with the genes. Okay, so somebody in your family has genes, and they tell you it runs in the family, right? Well, let's say there is the possibility that this gene could turn into cancer. But there are also 10,000 other things that this gene could do based on your thought process, based on your language, because we are what we speak. You see, if you say, I am broke, I want to get some money, well, guess what? Like you said, the universe is going to give you what you want. You don't want any money. You don't need money, right? Because you don't have it. It's like the prayers. Most of the prayers are begging. We're begging. And a prayer, oh, God, please, I want it, blah, blah, blah. Well, what about being thankful for what we have? And whatever it is you desire, see it as if it's happening. Speak as if you have it. Now, they'll tell you that's a lie. You know, kid's lying, saying he's got a house on the hill with a crystal ceiling. He's lying. Well, seems like the people that keep that thought end up with the house with the crystal ceiling. You see? Because they saw it before it happened. They were creating. They were co-creating. These are the things that we have to use, and we have to, you know, instill them in everyday language. And even myself, with all the work that I've done, each day I have to stop myself. I have to say, I'll say something, and I'll say, cancel, cut, delete, and clear. You see, or I'll take that back, because you've got like 7 seconds. After 7 seconds, your thought process has left the gravitational pull of the Earth. And it's traveling throughout the galaxy. I mean, do you know how fast thought travels? What is it, 186-something-something? I forgot the number now. But it's
186,000 miles per second squared.
Now, think about that. How fast is this thought? I mean, it's picking up speed. Now, the thing is, this is your creation. Guess where it's coming back? I mean, you saw Star Trek movie with Beecher. You know, it's looking for its creator. Your thoughts, your creations are always looking for the creator. So who is the creator of these thoughts? You. So as this disagreeable thought leaves your mouth, travels through space and time and no time and through all the different, dimensions, it comes back to you. And you don't realize why later on you don't feel good. I don't feel good today. I just want to lay down. And you may have said something or felt something at a time that you don't know how you're going to stop it. Well, with this technique, psychological kinesiology, we use kinesiology to get a yes or a no from the subconscious. Then we use the mind. We use neuro-linguistic programming, which has to do with, how your body, your body, it's basically body language. I could get deep, but let's just call it body language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People, when they think about the past, their eyes go up and to the left. And when they think about the future, their eyes go up and to the right. And there's all these places that your eyes go, because your eyes are like the mouse on the computer screen, accessing files. So if you speak a certain way, hold your neck a certain way in your head, and have your eyes positioned a certain way, all of a sudden you get into a different file cabinet in your head. So with this psychological kinesiology, we have you in the present moment. We get to we have to find out if your subconscious believes something. So one of the most popular that I use is, I forgive myself, my parents, and others for imperfections. Now, then we test using kinesiology. And usually the muscle goes weak because your subconscious doesn't really believe that you forgive yourself, your parents, and others for imperfections. Because you didn't even think they were imperfections. I mean, he did that on purpose. No, this guy's crazy. You need to understand. People have been made crazy. They woke up and ate some soup today, that was in an aluminum can,
Do you understand what I'm saying? It sat on a shelf forever. The, whatever was in it was in a state of quiescence. It didn't die. It didn't live. It just sat there. You know? I mean, what is this substance? I mean, what is this stuff we're calling food? And then you eat it. And you wonder why he's going off on you or he's cursing you out. It's because he is in the spin of craziness. He's gone right now. He's broken away from his true spirit self. He has no direction. He's upset.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of control, and he's emotional, and you know how emotions are. An object in motion tends to stay in motion until acted upon by opposite or equal force or whatever it is, blah, blah, blah. But you know what I'm trying to say is that you can't blame this person for being crazy right now. What you can do is send them some love and say, I understand. And even if a person is saying you did something, sometimes you just got to agree, I did. I apologize. You know you didn't do it, but it calms them down. You've got to get them to a place where there is a physical, grace period where they look at you again. And then you can begin to pull them to a brand new place. So with this particular technique, we're able to first find out whether your subconscious agrees with certain things that your conscious mind is saying. If there is a disagreement between you, there are certain positions, certain postures, certain mudras. And we use a combination of yoga. There's a combination of the mudras from India. There's actually almost every modality that you've seen in this one technique, okay? And you hold your fingers a certain way, and you may sit a certain way, and you'll say something over and over, and there's all of a sudden movies pop up in your head. Wait, I don't forgive my grandmother. I mean, she blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, that goes away. And grandma disappears. And then you'll think about something else, about how you don't forgive yourself for something you did. And you don't forgive this other person for the divorce or whatever. But after you say, I forgive myself, my parents, and others for imperfections, and when there's no more resistance in that statement, sitting in this certain posture, all of a sudden, your subconscious erases. It doesn't cover it up like hypnotism. It erases that particular belief and puts the new belief in place of it. And I'll tell you, man, I have studied all kinds of stuff. I've never seen anything work like this. I mean, people, when they come get a balance from me, we call them balances, they leave like totally different people. Things they couldn't fix, I mean, things that were going all, over and over in their head forever, all of a sudden, they say, wow, I feel better. So what did you do? They always ask me, well, what did you do? I didn't do anything. You did it. Because we're asking you all the time how to fix this. And your subconscious is always trying to fix the problem. So this particular technique, I mean, you can go to my website and check out, you know, go to elevationtime.com. My website is elevationtime.com. And you'll see there, you know, we've got the herbal programs, but we've got the stuff about the subconscious there. And also study the works of Dr. Bruce Lipton, because he talks about this. If you could get your subconscious to be in alignment with your conscious thoughts, then all of a sudden there's a spontaneous healing. I don't care if you've been smoking for 50 years. People say, well, I've been smoking. It's hard to quit. Well, first of all, we got a smoking formula. And we've got this formula that you smoke or you drink as a tea. And I guarantee after you drink it for a couple days, you're going to begin to hate cigarettes. You hate them. I mean, if something happens to you, because these herbs tell your body that you're getting nicotine, but you're not. You're getting lobelin, and lobelin is very close to nicotine as far as the molecule, but it's not dangerous to you. Then we work on the subconscious, because you probably smoke because of something that happened at some point, and it's a comfort. It does something for you. So we're going to replace that with something. You see? What do we replace it with? Something positive. So we have to come up with first-person positive present tense statements. I'm going to say it again. First person, that's I am. You see? Positive. You see? And present tense, because the subconscious only knows the moment. So, you know, we do balances, and, you know, we have a place here in Los Angeles, and in fact, we just opened up a new place. We have a garden we're building out in the back, and it's 1,200 square feet where you can sit, and we're going to, you know, have tea out there soon, but you know, in fact, I'm doing two lectures this weekend. If anybody's listening who's in the Los Angeles area, or anybody that wants to fly out or drive or walk or ride a camel,
this weekend, Friday, Saturday and Sunday at my place, Elevation, from 4 till 7. We're going to have a lecture talking about all the things we're talking about here. And, you know, it's going to be lots of fun. You know, we make it real fun. It's going to be outside on the ground, so it'll be in the evening. You might want to bring a little jacket, you know, because when the sun drops in L.A., the air gets cold. But
yeah,
it's very enlightening to endarken yourself. Now,
yes.
What does that mean? Everybody's talking about enlightenment. But what about endarkenment? Because, see, the darkness is where everything starts. Light starts in darkness. See, we got to get both sides of this. Remember you were talking about the dichotomy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need both sides of everything. You need to see both sides. You know, without the negative, some of us would have never become positive. Think about that. Without somebody cursing you out, you may not have gone home and done yoga or decided to become a monk or decided to, you know, pray or drink herbal tea. So a lot of times things disagreeable or seemingly negative happen to cause us to become positive.
This could be the whole meaning behind the term polar shift. You know, everybody's waiting for the earth to do some drastic thing. It might be us making the shift.
It is, and it's happening every day because the polar shift, you know, because they say, well, you know, the earth's skin is like a, you know, the skin of an orange, and it's going to shift, and the North Pole is going to be at the South. And
mm-hmm.
Well, as you know, nothing they say ever happens like they said it was going to happen.
That's true.
You know what I mean? You listen to the news, man. He's got you buying galoshes and umbrellas, and then the sun's out all day. I mean, they got the Doppler. We've got the Doppler radar. We're down here with Jimmy Jim Jim, who knows everything about a cloud. Jimmy Jim Jim, well, it's raining down here now. All the rain is moving fast. And I'm like, it's not raining. But for some people, it is raining. You see,
mm-hmm.
It's not raining for me. And when it does rain for me, I love the rain. We need rain. Go walking in the rain. It's not a disagreeable thing. You know, fire. You know, the fire burst out. I mean, they give these things these human, you know, qualities.
You know,
the fire burst out. It exploded. It came out with a rage. You know, nature's mad. You think about what's going on here.
Well, listen, Doc, unfortunately, we're out of time. I'm loving this.
Oh, my God.
And this is just a treat for me tonight to have you on the show. And I pray that the listening audience feels the same way. You are coming back in, another 13 days, if I recall, or somewhere about there. And so I'm looking forward to having you back again. We have to let our engineer get home and get some sleep because he's got to get up tomorrow and do this all over again.
Well, forgive me for getting so worked up, but, you know, you get me worked up because you're...
No, it's fine. I just have to be rude and say we are out of time right now. But I want to thank you so much for your music, for your message, for what you're doing. And I see a long-lasting relationship developing here. Not just between you and me, but also with our listening audience. So I look forward to your next visit.
Well, thanks for having me. And any kind of thing that I can do to help people help themselves, I'm there, willing and able. And just go to the website, elevationtime.com, or you can call or send me an email at docb, that's docb737@mac.com. docb737@mac.com. And Elevation Time has all the information about what we're talking about tonight and the music. So live long and prosper.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. B, and I look forward to your next visit. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our special guest, Doc B, will be with us again. And I want to thank Donald Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, as well as Seth Hendrick on the sound. Sound's been great tonight, Seth. And the listening audience, we can feel you out there. You have been great as well, and I want to wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.